I'm excited today, I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time. And I tell you, these days have been very critical. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 12 while I'm rambling on. But I'm just a little bit excited today to see all of you here. And I pray today that God will speak to your heart. And I appreciate the song to go right along with the message. Today we're going to be preaching on the subject of Abraham's altars. Abraham's altars. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis 12. We'll be staying in the book of Genesis, but we'll be turning to several chapters. So we'd ask you, if you would, to follow along with us today. If you're at home, you have your Bibles, you can follow along with us. Let me say this. This morning, I kind of got on the Zoom conference of Brian's Sunday school class. He was meeting with the teenagers today for Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and I kind of surprised them and got in there and spoke to all of them, let them know that we missed them, loved them, was praying for them, and I appreciate him doing that. And also on Thursday evenings, they're getting together. That Zoom thing is all right. It shows everybody's picture if they have their camera turned on. Some of the guys didn't want to turn theirs on, so I didn't get to see them, but I did get to see Megan and Juliana. But again, it puts everybody up in a little box, and when they speak, it goes to them. And it was quite a thing, but I appreciate he's been able to stay in touch with the teenagers through all this. And again, we appreciate it. And we're grateful that we're able to stay in touch with you through the internet, preaching the Word of God. So today, I pray that you'll receive a blessing by being here. Let me read the scripture. We'll begin in verse number 7. The Bible said, I'm just going to read the one verse. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together and just be here. Lord, it's an exciting day to be able to be in the house of God. Lord, it's exciting to see some of our people here, and I pray today that you'd bless their hearts. Again, keep everyone safe, but I pray that you'd give me the wisdom, the help that I need in order to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. I pray that you'd have your will and way. Just guide and direct, we pray. We'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Another reason I'm excited to be standing up preaching. I kind of enjoyed sitting down, to be honest with you. It was real comfortable. I think I had a tendency to preach a little longer, so some of you are probably glad now that I'm standing up. But again, we're grateful for God's blessings there, and please continue to pray. Hopefully, a couple of weeks, I'll have this boot off, and that'll be a real blessing. Our text today in Genesis chapter 12 introduces us to two men that are together to go out on a journey. And basically, when these two men started out on this journey, they had one common goal in mind. But along the line, unfortunately, we find, according to the Word of God, they were separated in their way. Now, there was a reason for the separation, because one man climbed a mountain to a place where the atmosphere was clean and pure and where the view was unlimited. But the second companion descended to the plains of Sodom, where opportunities for a successful business career appeared to be excellent. Down in that area of Sodom, the cattle was fat. The laughter was coming from the partying and all that was going through the air. Literally, poor people could go down to Sodom and get rich if they were willing to sell their soul. And a lot of times we see that happen in many people's life. But these men's name were Abraham and Lot, or Abram, as we find in Genesis. And they looked over the well-watered plains of Sodom, but strife led them to separate. There came to a point where there was contention between them, and literally, Abraham, being the wiser of the two, he said, listen, we can't go on this way, and there must be something that we need to do. And so if you would, flip over to Genesis 13, in verses 10 through 13, and here's what the Bible said, beginning in verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. There's one detail that explained the difference in these two men. You would wonder, why would it be that one would be one way and one the other? Because that's just the way it is in life, because all people are different. But one man named Abram, he loved altars. He loved altars, the place to come and worship God, to pray to God, and to see God do something in his life. Obviously, the other one, being Lot, did not love altars. Now, we find that maybe somewhere occasionally he had knelt at one of his uncle's altars. Maybe he had knelt there, but he had never built one for himself. You know, it's so easy today that we can go to somebody else's altar. It's easy to come to church and hopefully get what we need. But it's another thing to go home and establish a family altar, a time when you read your Bible and pray and seek God's face and God's will. Abram looked toward heaven, but Lot looked toward Sodom. And again, it was a matter of where his mind was and what it was doing. Abraham was thrilled by the grace of God. Lot was influenced by wealth and greed. These men could have belonged to my family. They could have belonged to your family. They could belong to our church. They could belong to our community. They could be our intimate friends. But I can assure you, the man kneeling at the altar will be closer to God than anyone who's too busy to pray, and he's walking on a dangerous road away from God. I want to show you some things this morning that I hope will be a help to you, because if this doesn't wake up the people of America today, what we're going through, I don't believe nothing will. But friend, today what we need to be doing is finding ourselves at the altar of God, praying that God's will be done. The first altar I want you to see this morning, go back to verse number 7. We find this is the place, the altar of conversion. The altar of conversion, literally the place of pardon. When I think about the place of pardon, I remember the time that I got saved and born again by the Spirit of God. I'm grateful today that God saved my soul and gave me eternal life. But we see the altar of conversion. He erected his first altar at the plain of Moreh, which was a combination of the long journey from Ur of the Chaldees. As best we can tell by anything that we read in the Bible, up until that time, literally up until this chapter, we find nowhere where Abraham, or Abram as we might call him, was tempted to build an altar. Now, what's interesting about that, and the reason we realize that, is because Abram was raised in a family that did not believe in God. He had a father by the name of Terah, and Terah did not believe in God. He was an idol worshiper, and basically we can contend that up until this time, literally, Abram had never had any inclination of God in any way at all until God had spoken to him. The Bible said in Joshua 24, verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So here we find the story of Terah. Now, Abraham would have been a good son, I believe. If he was willing to do what God had called him to do, surely he would be one that would be obedient to his dad. So up until that time, he had probably been a very obedient to his dad and probably in some ways had a good relationship with him. However, the Bible says in verse 12 and 1 and 2, it said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Friend, I tell you now, I want you to think with me what I'm saying here today. Number one, here's Abram, as we call him. He had a father named Terah. He was raised in a false religion, people that worshiped other gods. He had never heard of God. He had never heard anything about God. And one strange day, this voice appears out of heaven, and he tells him what to do. He said, "Get out from thy country and from thy kindred, thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee." And of course, I just read it, so I'll not read it again. But the neighbors must have thought he was crazy. Obviously, "Abram, where are you going?" "I don't know." "Abram, what are you going to do when you get there?" "I don't know." "Abram, do you know anything about this voice or this person that spoke to you?" And obviously, there was something that had made him know that it was God himself. And yet, Abram, by faith, listen, I don't think anything we do could be called faith compared almost to what Abram did. Listen, Abram obeyed God's voice. He had heard a voice calling him. He had no knowledge of the one who was calling him. Friend, today we've had the privilege of hearing God preach for years. We know that God is in the soul-saving business. We know that God is in the saint blessing ministry. And yet, many times we fail to do what God tells us to do. Nevertheless, Abraham, raised in a godless family, raised in a family that worshiped idols, hears a voice from heaven and obeys in a very strange way. Friend, it's one thing to be obedient to some things, but it would be very difficult to be obedient to somebody telling you to pull up and leave your home and go somewhere where you didn't know where you were going. Centuries later, there was wise men that followed a star to find the infant Christ. But you know, Abraham had no such guide. The fact is, he went by faith and faith alone. And literally what that led to is in the book of Hebrews later on, he was hailed as being a man of faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:10, "For he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God." So Terah followed his son on the journey. He went with him. Obviously, they had a good relationship, as maybe any son and father would, other than the fact that we know that when Abram heard God speak, he obeyed him, and obviously Terah didn't know and understand everything that was going on, so he packed up and went with him. They finally reached the plains of Mamre after a long, difficult journey. And here in chapter 12, verse 7, we find where Abram erected his first altar. And the Bible said, as he did that, in verse 7 again, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord." But look at that last phrase, "who appeared unto him." Now, if you would go back and think, and this is quite interesting of a study if you go back and look at it. Here's Abraham, raised in a godless home. He's in a home where there's idol worship. And yet, all of a sudden, this voice, the voice of God, somebody he did not know and did not know anything about, but he heard God speak to him. And so he takes off on the journey, and during that journey, we have no record of God speaking to him or saying anything else to him except the commandment to go. The period of time would have been a long time, and yet he finally comes to the place, and when he comes to the place, he builds an altar there, and something glorious happened. Not only did God speak to him, but the Bible said God appeared to him. Friend, today God can speak to people that are lost, but until they come to the altar of grace and submit their lives to him and ask forgiveness of their sin, they'll never be saved. Living in the Ur of the Chaldees, he heard the voice of God. But kneeling before the altar of the Lord, he met God. And friend, what a wonderful truth it is today when we come to the realization of meeting God. It's one thing to know God. It's another thing to meet God and know him personally in our life. I'm not being critical or trying to be, but I believe there's a lot of religious people today, and they've heard God, they've heard of God, and they've heard about God, but they don't know God because they've never met God, because they've never come to the altar of grace to receive what God has for them. When you come to the place of sacrifice, the place of Calvary, God appears to the believing soul, and his presence becomes real. I like the song, at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Second of all, he come to the second altar that he built. It's the place called the altar of communion. The Bible said, and he removed from thence into a mountain on the east side of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west side. So we see him leaving and going to Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar. Notice what it says every time. He built an altar unto the Lord. And he called on the name of the Lord. At the first altar, God met him. At the second altar, we find that he prayed to the Lord. So we find at the second altar, the altar of communion is the place of prayer. Boy, how today we need to learn to pray, and I've already emphasized that a little bit in the announcements today. But he had spent all these years not knowing anything about the Lord. And now he had wanted to spend time with God. He had wanted to fellowship with God. He wanted to receive God's refreshment on a daily basis and to hear from heaven. And so here at this altar, he begins to pray. Now, Abraham was always safe as long as he lingered at the altar. Now again, Abraham, like many of us, wasn't a perfect man. We find he made some mistakes, and the message would not allow me today. Time would not be allowed to expound on those mistakes that he made. But I'm just saying, Abraham always was safe when he lingered near the altar of Jehovah. Never was there a famine in the land when the Lord and his servants were together. Never was there a famine in the land when the two servants were together. But Abraham decided to take a journey. And the Bible said in verse 9 and 10, we find there in verse 9 and 10, but Abram journeyed going on toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, friend, as long as he was with God, as long as he was hanging around the altar, as long as he was dependent on God for his life and for sustenance and provision and for help, there was no famine. But, friend, when he left, and the Bible says there was a famine in the land, and so Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous. Now, during this time in Egypt, he never had an altar of fellowship with God. You can read it for yourself and find out. His faith was shattered. His memories were haunted. His soul was filled with mistakes, and he was an unhappy man. Friend, today, our happiness is not based on the circumstances of the day in which we live. Our happiness is based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the altar, the place that we prepared, that we go to and pray to God, because the Bible said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." Eventually, when his life was threatened, you remember, I'm not going into all the details, but you remember the mistakes he made with his wife. Eventually, when he saw that his life was in danger, he regretted the mistakes that he had made. And he began to cry out to God for help. Look at Genesis 13, verses 1 through 4. And Abram went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. It's always wise to pray when you're feeling guilt. It's wise to pray on a daily basis whether you feel guilt or not. But if you feel guilt, it's wise to pray. And here we find on this occasion, on both occasions, when Abram visited Bethel, what happened? When he got there and established it, the Lord was with him and he prayed to him. Next time he does it, he called on the name of the Lord and all his problems were solved. Thank God he came to the place to where he came back to the place, and many today have gotten away from the place to where God blessed them, where God saved them, the house of God. And this is the thing that I fear the most. I don't want to see people get used to not going to church to where they don't feel there's a need to go to church anymore. Because, friend, the house of God is the place of blessing. It's the place of God working in our life in any way that we can. But Abraham decided he would go because the famine was bad and got away from the altar. But thank God he came back. I heard of a little child one time, and he said this way. He said, "Goodbye, dear Lord. We're moving to New York. It's been nice knowing you. Amen." Thank goodness Abraham didn't say that when he left. Had Abraham been foolish, he might have finished the prayer in the same fashion. But instead, Abram could say with David, and so can you and I. In Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall the hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me up." It's good to meet God at the altar, but it's better to meet God every day of your life to get strength, to get guidance, and to get directions. So we find here Abram doing what God commanded him to do. He builded him an altar when he got to the place, and it was the place where God met him. It was the place of realization of who God was and what he was doing. The next place he came was the place of prayer. He built an altar and he began to communicate and fellowship with God. Yet he got away from that and he went off and he fell into some sin and some things happened that should not have happened. But thank God he knew where to come back to. You know, that's when David quoted that verse that I just read a while ago. What David was saying is, I've sinned against God, but I know where to go. I know how to get right. I know where I came from and where I need to get back to. And thank God Abram came back to Bethel. And then thirdly, there was a third altar called the Altar of Covenant. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, and I'm going to read those. Then Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look for the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Here's the third altar. It's the place of prayers. It's interesting that the third altar that Abraham built, literally we don't find him asking for anything. He didn't need to ask for anything because God gave him everything. If you read the passage when you get home that I just read to you, chapter 13, verse 11 through 18, it's interesting to note the things that God was given to him. Go back and look at verse 8 and 9. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. It's evident that Abram lived close to God because he detested strife. A good sign of a child of God is they will not want turmoil and they will not want strife among the brethren. The Bible said we're to love one another, that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. To him, it was more desirable. Abraham said, it's not worth the fussing, the feuding, and the fighting for us to go through. I'd just rather we separate and be done with it to where I can enjoy the peace of God. And even though that's not what he necessarily wanted, he wanted the peace of God more than he wanted the riches of the world. And friend, today people argue and bite and fight and do everything they can because they're trying to gain something. And yes, that's what Lot was doing. But obviously, Abram was a man now building his third altar, and he comes before God. And by the way, there was no need for him to seek guidance or pray as to what they needed to do. We find that literally, God had given him everything he needed. And for a man that kneels at the altar, he'll be open to the Spirit of God and his moving. You say, why shouldn't he have prayed on that? Why shouldn't he prayed about it? I'll tell you why. Because we should never compromise between evil and between good. And Lot was choosing evil over good. And Abram knew that there was no need asking God what he'd have him to do. There's some people say today, well, there's just some things, you know, that we need to pray about. There's just some things we don't need to pray about. We know Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know people need to get saved. We know that he said, be ye holy for I am holy. And people are expected to live holy. And likewise, he didn't need to pray because compromise with evil is never wise when the soul strives to please God. So, Lot, being the industrious man he was, if you want to call him that, he chose the fortune of the people of the plains. Notice he didn't move all the way into Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He lived close enough that he could hear the laughter. He lived close enough that he could hear the partying. He lived close enough that he could see people making maybe money hand over fist. But yet, they separated, and immediately, what does God do? God rewarded Abram far more than he could have ever acquired in over 1,000 years. Can you imagine what you just read in 13, verse 11 through 18? Abram never forgot what the Lord said. Look back at 17 and 18. God said, "Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar of the Lord. Friend, this altar signifies a great spiritual lesson to us. It's found in Matthew 6, 33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." We live in a very worldly society today. We live in a world today where people, their hearts are turned away from God. Their minds are as far away from God as they can be. And yet, today what they need to understand is God rewards those who are faithful. And it may not seem like it at times. You may go through some trials and difficulties and heartaches. But let me remind you today, God always blesses those who are faithful and stay close to the altar that He's prepared to thee. The Bible said they came to the place where God had told them on the fourth, when the altar of consecration. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood. You can go to Genesis chapter 22. Let me get you over there. And this might be perhaps one of the most trying times in the life of Abram, where he built his fourth altar. And it came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of the wood. Now, I'm going to tell you, through the years, I've had a hard time comprehending that. And sometimes I still, in my mind, say, how in the world? I don't know anybody that loves their children that would be willing to lay their child upon the altar. But God was testing Abraham's faith. I'd say by now, other than some mistakes he'd made along the way, Abraham's faith had been proved greatly. But yet God said, we've got one more test. Now remember, the first altar was the place of pardon. The second altar was the place of prayer. The third altar was the place of praise, because God gave him everything that he could cover in walking, and he gave it to him. He rewarded him for his faithfulness. But the fourth test and the fourth altar was the place of provision. The path to complete surrender is never smooth. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. Sometimes God has to allow us to go through things that we'd prefer not to go through, but to get us to the place of sacrifice in our life, to where we'd strive to try to be more like Jesus than we ever had before. Somebody said the other day, why in the world would God allow this? Let me tell you something. I told the lady the other day delivering my mail, she came to the door. And I said, I'm telling you, she was talking, and she is a Christian, knows the Lord. But I said, we're just having some tribulation. I said, we are having tribulation. I do not believe we're going through the tribulation. Thank God for that. But we're going to have, the Bible said, hey, in this world ye shall have tribulation. We're going to have some tribulation, and we're going through it. But whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Sometimes it's difficult to appreciate the wisdom of God. I tell you, He knoweth the path that I take. He knows the end of the path that I take, and He knows every step I make along the path. And God's wisdom is greater than my wisdom, and things I don't understand. Listen, I'm not to question God, because God is God, and He's powerful. It was difficult now. For this wisdom, how about this? Just take it yourself. Whether you got